Every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. Charles Spurgeon said that, and we've been talking about that over the last 6 weeks, about being missionaries. We know that we're not imposters. We're followers of Jesus, making followers of Jesus, and therefore we are missionaries. And we're ending this sermon series today on mission friends. We have a mission, and we are building friendships together as we pursue the mission together and make more mission friends. So we want more lost people found, and we want more hurting people helped. That's what we are called to. And when we realize the power of the gospel to do that, we recognize that our communities need us, you and I, to learn how to be good local missionaries. But not just that, to raise up a church full of good local missionaries. And that's what we've been learning over the past several weeks. And when we conclude this message today, the teaching is kind of done, but the practice continues. It's something that we continue to do week in, week out, year, all year long, and year after year as we follow. The training continues as we apply our hands and feet to the task of God's mission, the task of bringing the good news of love, and it's delivered through our hands and feet. So just to make sure we're fully aware of what being a mission friend is all about, we're going to review just a couple essentials that we are on Jesus' mission. And so let's say that together. I want us to understand that, get it right here in our heart. This mission is not necessarily, we're on the mission, but this is Jesus' mission. So let's say it together. It's Jesus' mission. Let's do it one more time. It's Jesus' mission. And we want to keep reminding ourselves of that, that this is Christ's mission. So first, it's Jesus' mission to us. You know, it's a vibrant, living, saving, freeing, bondage-breaking, full of the Holy Spirit, empowered personal friendship with Jesus. That's what it's all about, to you and to me, and that's where it starts. So Christ's mission is first and foremost to each one of us. And I've said this before, but it's true. If we don't have this peace, then all the rest of it doesn't really matter. It begins with our own personal walk and relationship with Jesus. And I know many of you already have that. You're secure in that. And the Bible says that you may know that you have eternal life, that you have that friendship with God. And so if that's you, great. Then you are set for God's mission for the next piece. But if you're not sure, and if you're wondering, if you're just not quite settled on the idea that you are right with God, that you do have that relationship with Jesus, the Bible says that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so I just want to invite you to start right there, to be bold today and to say, and to come to the Lord and say, you know, I want to be sure. I want to know, Lord, that I have friendship with you. And so it's simple as this. In your heart, you know, right now, you can pray, Lord, I want a relationship with you. I believe that you died for my sin, and I believe that you rose from the grave to forgive me. And Lord, I trust and believe that you have forgiven me. And Lord, I want you to fill me in that fullness and life of the Holy Spirit, that I may have confidence and know that I am your friend. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. That's where the mission begins, God's mission to us, Jesus' mission to us. The second piece is Jesus' mission through us, that God has called us in his mission to accomplish through you and I his purpose. And we have the privilege of bringing the good news to our world, those around us, every single day in every place we go. As missionaries, Jeff told us last Wednesday night that we are Christ's ambassadors, which means that we have the privilege of representing Jesus to the world. And so we bring that message of God's friendship. That's what we have to share, that we are invited to a new friendship with God through Jesus, God's Son. You know, and what a message to share, right? Friendship with God. On Wednesday nights, it's pretty amazing if you've had an opportunity to be here. We have our kids ministry and youth ministry, and you know, so there's lots of kids. And when we come in here now for our Lent services, the sanctuary is half full of just kids all over and young adults. And you guys have been so wonderful about gathering together and coming and sitting and watching and helping us all be part of the worship service, because some of the kids are, this is new stuff. And so as Jeff was sharing last week and talking about being bold and the invitation to share the gospel and tell people, what God has done in our lives, it prompted one of our leaders to be bold and to share the gospel in Bible Blast. When Cheryl was telling the story, two little girls were, God got a hold of their heart, and they had this question, wondering, about what it meant to believe in God. And so their leader took them aside and shared that with them and led them to a relationship with Christ. So two little girls, or two young students last week, gave their lives to Christ in the middle of ministry. Woohoo! That's what being a missionary is all about. You see, we just never know when that's going to take place, but we're ready when God presents the opportunity. So it's God's mission through us, a vibrant, living, saving, freeing, bondage-breaking, Holy Spirit-empowered and filled life with Jesus right now. So we have a mission, we have a message, and that makes us missionaries, right? So we are missionaries, every one of us. So let's say that together one more time. I am, put it up on the wall. I am a missionary. Okay, there we go. Ready? I am a missionary. Okay, good job. Let's say it one more time just to... I am a missionary. Are you really? Yes, you are a missionary. I bet you never thought about that, have you? You know, we always often think about missionaries being sent off to a faraway land and to live in all kinds of crazy situations, but we are missionaries right here in our community. We are ambassadors for Christ. So we're going to end this mission series where good local missionaries begin, and that is good local missionaries begin with prayer. As Jesus' missionaries, we're asking God for two distinct outcomes. We're praying for two things. One, that our part will be accomplished. And secondly, that God's part will be accomplished. And I think it's wise to also pray that maybe we know the difference when we are being missionaries. So first one, praying our part in Jesus' mission. We're joining Jesus to bring the lost and the hurting and the left out and the lonely to Jesus. He's bringing them to himself. And so we begin by asking God, where are you already at work in the lives of those around me? In this pamphlet today that you have handed out, it's called Bless Intentional Evangelism. We have some opportunity to write down 3 to 5 names of people on our list that we can begin to pray for throughout the year. And I want to invite us to do this today. So, Rick, I see you're back there, and there's a bunch of pencils. If you don't have a pencil, raise your hand, because I really think that apart from giving our lives to Christ today, this is the most important thing you can do in this worship service, besides giving your life and maybe taking a nap if you're really tired. It is filling this out, because this is our calling as missionaries for Christ. So grab a pencil, and I'm going to begin to just walk us through this today. This really matters. Jesus said in Luke 15, he says, "I tell you that in the same way there's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." So in other words, we've talked about this, but there's rejoicing in heaven when one person comes to faith in Jesus Christ. Just like this Wednesday night, heaven is rejoicing. And as we engage this list, as we write down these names, we are partnering with the work God is doing to accomplish just that. So on there, it talks about a frank list, which is just a way of thinking about people's names. And as we think about 3 to 5 people to write down on this list that are, maybe far away from God or don't yet know Jesus in this personal way, friendship with God way, then we think about maybe our friends. Who amongst our friends might not yet be a Jesus follower? And we may write that name down. Or relatives. Who amongst our relatives are far from God or have not yet trusted Jesus? Or our acquaintances, people that we are around every day, maybe people that we run into or we know. Who is it that we might be able to be an ambassador for Jesus? And even our neighbors, you know, we interact with our neighbors, you know, very often. And what do we know about our neighbors? Do we have neighbors, you know, and kind of in Wheaton, we're all neighbors, right? So, you know, who of your neighbors might God be working in their lives? And then coworkers, who is it that you work with? Who are you around on a daily basis that you could influence with the way God is at work in your lives? So we have 3 to 5. Keep working on that as we go along. I want to review for you what happened with my list last year. I got pretty aggressive, and I wrote down 17 names. And you might think, wow, that's pretty good, Pastor Tim. But I tell you, the outcomes aren't actually that awesome. I need help with this as well. But I'm just going to walk you through this. The first one that I wrote down, I did have conversation with. This person is a believer. We reaffirmed that relationship, and praise God. But that person is not yet walking in a relationship with the church, so we keep praying. The next one I've been praying for ever since we started this 13 years ago, and I still have no idea where this person is in their walk with Jesus. The next one I know is unchurched and probably not a believer. The next two are unchurched and probably not believers. As far as I know, nothing has changed. The next one I wrote in code. Maybe I was trying to be secret here, and I have no idea who it is. So what does that tell you? The next one is three people in a family, and I'm still praying, and I was able to engage one particular person with the intention of this list over the year, and I'm hoping, maybe a little further along. The next two remain unchurched. The next one actually has taken a backward step and has confessed being an unbeliever. The next one is gone from the community, and I don't know where it is. The next one is a little more involved here in the life of the church, and I hope God's at work in their heart. The next one, I believe, is a believer, and I'm pretty excited about that. The next one has, I've seen this person confess Jesus and what he does, and I see work going there, and I know that there's more to do, so work in progress. And the last one, yes, is a believer in Jesus Christ. So praise God, you know, that's the list. And as we look at that, we see some things that were going good, some things that were not good. But I have to confess that I stuck this in my wallet this year. I actually carried it around all year long. It has the little wallet folds in it. And I brought it out about once a month. Not too impressive, is it? And so that's my realization and confession maybe that, you know, this is serious. It's not that easy to make that commitment. And I realize that 17 names is a lot if you're going to spend some time praying for them. So my encouragement to you is 3 to 5. 3 to 5 names that you can focus on this year and pray for specifically each morning or sometime each day, you know, like a minute at a time, just asking God, how are you working in this person's life, and how do you want to use me to bring them one step closer to Jesus? How'd it go for you last year? So we start. So how do we go about praying for our part? Well, one way is to pray for boldness. I think that's what Jeff was saying last Wednesday night. Praying for boldness. In Acts 4, again, we read that the apostles had just suffered some defeats, were thrown in prison and just released. And they prayed, "Now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence. While you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant." And when they had prayed, the place where they were was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak God's word with boldness. So there's two phrases in there. In the language, it's all confidence and boldness. They mean the same thing. It's this freedom of speech, this confidence in the message that we have. And so have boldness. Jeff said, talk about Jesus and what he's done in your life. We don't have to know everything about the Bible and everything that's in here, but we do want to talk about what God has done in our lives and in the world. So my friend Pastor Mark in New London, he writes me texts, and we have conversations, and at the end, he always says, be bold. You know, be bold. Share the good news in season and out of season. So a few weeks ago, I stepped out in boldness and asked you on a Sunday message to keep me accountable, to ask me how many people or who have I invited to come to worship today? Who have I invited to come be part of the worship service? And so I say that because I realize that maybe this was a little intentional, but that if you come up to me and ask me, Pastor Tim, who did you invite to worship today? That I might reciprocate the question, right? Well, who did you invite? So maybe that wasn't such a good idea. But it is, because the reality is, this is our mission, and we need encouragement to help each other and encourage each other to be on task. It's so easy to get distracted and so easy to forget what we are about. You know, being a mission friend isn't just about a good mission or a good series that the pastor preaches once a year in order to get that off the list. Check. Okay, now we can get on to other things that are more fun. Actually, it is a lifestyle that we want to live and live into. And I believe this is our calling as mission friends, to be those who lead others to Jesus. So next week, ask me. I think it's a great week to invite people because we have Camp Sunday. And we have Pastor Greg, who's coming? Matt Rudin. He's the program director at Lake Beauty Bible Camp, and he is good. He's great with kids and students. I've seen him, and we're excited about him coming. And here's the challenge. Here's the invitation, that we can invite families and kids that don't have a church family, that have not experienced Bible camp in the past, who don't have a Bible camp to go to. I would encourage each one of us to invite someone like that to come and hear the message about what can happen at Bible camp from a dynamic speaker, and get them excited about that. And I tell you, if that happens, if we all did that, imagine what kind of excitement we would have this coming Sunday. And more than excitement, what kind of impact if we had more kids going to camp and hearing the gospel and coming to faith in Jesus Christ. It would be amazing. And I'm confident that if that happens, God's going to show us how to get enough potatoes and turkeys for the fundraiser dinner to come up with what's needed. So the challenge, Camp Sunday, inviting others to come experience what God is doing, because God's doing amazing things. So are you seeing that part of the mission? Are you seeing that part of boldness? Sometimes it's just a simple invitation that we extend. So as you complete your list today, you know, pray and ask God for boldness to engage in the ways that God is showing you to do that. You know, I this pastor friend I talked about, he always talked, when I asked him for advice and those kinds of things, you know, he would give it and he'd say, but you know, Tim, more important than that is pray and ask God what to do, and then do that. And so that's my advice to you. Pray, ask God, and then whatever he reveals, try it. That's our part. So the next way we pray for our part is to pray, how, God, can I bless the people on my list? And so we have some ideas on this brochure on BLESS as an acronym: to listen with care, to eat together, to serve with love, to share your story. All those are things that we can do to help people walk closer with Jesus. And Jody Moore, she is a liaison to the Town and Country Commission for the Evangelical Covenant Church. She served a church out in Kansas for a dozen years, a town and country setting just like ours. And she says this, how often do you specifically pray for non-Christian people by name? She says you can toss out a prayer, God, would you bless everybody everywhere? That's sort of a meaningless prayer. It's very different and much more specific to pray, Lord, would you give me someone this week with whom I can share the gospel? A Monday morning prayer could be, Lord, this week, put someone in my path. This week, give me boldness as you give me opportunity to share the gospel. This is a game changer. Not praying generally, but praying specifically. Wow, I have to warn you, though, that when we do this, God answers those prayers. God does put people in our path. And sometimes that affects our lives. Sometimes that affects our church. You know, we look around and we see very different church than there was a dozen years ago. And the gospel is the same, but accomplishing that mission, lost people, finding Jesus and hurting people helped, it actually means that the things change, the church changes. And I don't worry so much about the church really today. I think Jesus is, it's his church. You know, he's in charge, but I am worried about us being the church, about us actually going out and doing the mission that we're called to. We are, and we want to encourage each other all the more. So as Jesus missionaries, we're asking God for two distinct outcomes, praying for our part to be accomplished, and the second one is praying for God's part to be accomplished. That's right. Very good. Jody Moore is quick to remind us that great things happen because we have a great God, not because we're great missionaries. And that's so true. We have to do our part, but God, apart from God, our part is just empty. The apostle makes the point clear again with the planting of the seeds. Apollos watered, God makes it grow. So I want to give credit to Jody Moore again, who writes this. She says, "We think we can do this, but we can't. If God doesn't show up, all that sowing and watering just makes a bunch of mud." And it's true, right? And so we pray before we do anything. We pray after we do anything. We pray when we're doing anything. We come before the Lord and recognize we're totally dependent on God doing God's work. The scripture says, "Unless the Lord builds a house, those who labor, labor in vain." So a good local missionary is recognized that dependence on God's Spirit. In Zechariah, it says, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty." So on the back of your card again, there's some great suggestions about how you might pray for God's peace in this. And it is simply to pray for the person on your list to become hungry and thirsty for God. The scripture says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. And whoever believes in me, as scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." And we know that. Maybe you are one who has experienced that, but there needs to be a hunger and a thirst before that water is received. And so pray for that person to take genuine steps of repentance. You know, Corinthians says, "Godly sorrow brings repentance and leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death." You know, this idea when God catches a hold of us and just grabs our heart, and, you know, maybe there's tears, maybe there's sorrow, but there's a letting go and a release and a healing and a freeing and a bondage breaking that takes place when God enters our heart and when we turn back to him and we repent and receive forgiveness. And oftentimes tears flow. And I've seen grown men cry, and you know, and it's a wonderful thing because in the end, it's tears of joy and relief and wonder. And I'm going to take a little bit of time here, just an extra moment, to watch a video that we saw at Alpha last night or yesterday afternoon. And this video describes a person who God totally got a hold of their heart and totally changed. And sometimes we don't see these kinds of dramatic changes in people's lives, but this is the power of God. This is what can happen.
I got in with the wrong crowd, and I started to pinch cars, burgle houses, become known. Me and my friends become known as very high-profile thieves, really. I used to carry big knives, the big knives to the smaller knives down my waist, and I was the kind of person where if you pulled a knife out, I would use it. I ended up stabbing someone in the head. I ended up stabbing someone, just missing his heart and going through the top of his shoulder, the top of his chest and his shoulder where he dropped to the floor. And so I was on the run for two attempted murders. And then I was just, when I went to prison, I had such a hatred for the system, and I couldn't handle being told what to do, couldn't handle prison officers mucking me about. When I went out on association, I got to prison officer and I stabbed him. And then this led to me going into maximum security prisons, being put on CSC. Where they feed you through a hatch in the door. There's no physical contact, so they have to have riot shields and riot gear on. And that was my life for a long, long time, basically. And I just was going from prison to prison, prison to prison. But then I ended up going to Long Larton in Worcestershire. And when I was in there, I ended up going in an Alpha course, never heard of an Alpha course, didn't know anything. And I just remember walking in because they'd sent me down. I sat down on a chair and I thought, oh no, it's a Christian thing. And we'd just go there every week and I would argue. And the pastor, I remember he come to me. He said, right, I'm going to say a few scriptures first before we pray. And one of them was, no one's righteous, not one. We all fall short of the glory of God. And then he said the verses about Jesus and explained a bit why he died on the cross for sinners and stuff. And then he said, pray. So I started praying. And I said, God. I said, God, if you're real, come into my life because I hate who I am. And nothing happened. But then, as I was talking to the pastor, I started to feel this energy feeling in my stomach. And it started to raise up and raise up and raise up and raise up. And I just broke out into uncontrollable tears. And I just sobbed. And I just... right there. Because that was a change of my whole life. I knew God was real. And no one will change that now. And then I remember running on the wing. People clearly knew that I would become a Christian. So I actually helped them on another two Alpha courses. And then I got released. I've been in a prison where I... because you would have thought that the prison where I stabbed the prison officers would have been the last prison to have me. But they were the first. That's how God works. The best thing for me is going in prisons and helping the lads in prison and trying to tell them about God. I've got four kids and they're my life. And what upsets me is because now I know that back then, if I had the kids, they wouldn't have had a good upbringing. And now they sit on the night and have Bible studies with their dad. A Bible study with a dad, have a life, a beautiful, and my life, and it's probably my wife and my kids are the best gift, that, apart from the grace God's given me, is the best gift he'll ever give me. Didn't expect to cry like that. Recovered now.
So we pray that God does his work in the hearts and lives of people. So we pray for people by name that they would experience God's love. The scripture says, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. We love because God first loved us. When that love is poured into a person's heart, it comes out. And so as we follow God's lead, as we eat and serve and share together with other people, that we pray that that'll be a demonstration where they will experience God's love through us. And finally, we pray by name for the person to develop this deep spiritual rootedness. Scripture says, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can bear no good fruit. But in me, you bear good fruit. So I'm not trying to do this tally at the end of the year so we can say, look how many people came to Christ because of our ministry. But we do keep track as best we can in order to know how effective we are as missionaries and to adjust accordingly. But the point is that people who are far from God will come to know God and have an eternal relationship with him, to know his love and know his life in this life and the life to come. They're not statistics, but to become fully devoted followers of Jesus, to become mission friends with us. So we end where we begin in prayer, praying for our part in the mission and praying for God's part in the mission. Kevin Harney, he's author of Organic Outreach, he writes this, and a great place to close. He says, as you lay your head on the pillow at the end of the day, reflect on the opportunities you have had to scatter the seed of Jesus. Pray that other Christians will come along and water where you have scattered. Ask the Holy Spirit to do what only he can do. Make the seed take root and change hearts and lives. Place the growth process in the hands of Jesus. And remember, that he loves the people in your life even more than you do. Then rest well, knowing that another exciting day of scattering awaits you when you wake up in the morning. So you and I, we are mission friends. We're friends together on Jesus' mission. So let's be bold and weekly encourage one another. Pray for each other. Pray for the people on our list. Pray how we can bless them, that they may know God's love and take one step closer to friendship with God. And pray that God will make a harvest of Jesus followers. We are mission friends, making followers of Jesus who make followers of Jesus.